Hi, everybody. I'm John Torrance. Welcome to our podcast channel. I know that you will be blessed by today's message. So this morning, we are going to unpack for you Ephesians 3 and 20 over these next 3 weeks. I'm doing so much more, part one, part two next Sunday, part three on the 21st. And we're going to look at that. And we are here in Ephesians 3 and 20, looking at the Passion Translation. And it says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, number one, your most unbelievable dream, number two, we'll do that next week, and exceed your wildest imagination. We'll talk about that on the third week. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now, last Sunday, I took those first words, never doubt God. And we spoke about how that we ought never to doubt God or his ability to use you. Yeah, I'm talking to you this morning. Never doubt God's ability and the fact that he wants to use you and allow his power to flow through your life so that he can accomplish his will and his purpose concerning you. Can I get an amen? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 21:21, after he had cursed the fig tree and it withered and from its roots up and it died, and the disciples were amazed. And Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you that if you have faith and do not doubt, if you have faith and do not doubt, you're going to see so much more in 2024. Can I get an amen? This is what Charles Spurgeon said the one time, and he spoke about doubt, and he said these words. He said, doubt, can we get that up on the screen? Doubt discovers difficulties. There's always a problem with doubt, always looking for a problem. Problem here, problem there. But doubt discovers difficulties which it never solves. It creates hesitancy, despondency, despair. Its progress is the decay of comfort and the death of peace. Believe, or having faith, in other words, is the word which sparks life into a man or a woman. But doubt nails down his coffin. All right? So we don't want doubt to nail down our coffins. Can I get an amen? Can I get a bit of amen? And I also said that it's pretty natural for you and I to have thoughts of doubt to come into our minds. Amen. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Or are we all very super spiritual? We are natural beings and we have a natural mind. And in that natural mind, there will be times when doubt comes into your mind. But that's not the problem. The problem is if you do nothing about it and that doubt goes into your heart. Why is that a problem? Because doubt that is in the heart produces unbelief. Can I get an amen? That's why we got to guard our hearts against doubting. You may doubt your doubts. You may even doubt me. You may doubt the governments of this world, politicians, yeah, doubt them, economists, bankers, lawyers, doctors, whoever is out there. You can doubt TV stations, news stations, but you may never doubt God and his word. Would you say this after me? I will doubt my doubts. I will doubt my doubts, but never ever will I doubt God and his word. Amen. So we can doubt our doubts, but never ever are we going to, as a family, as a church, doubt God and his word. And then in the New Year's service at night, I spoke about the fact that if we are going to see this Ephesians 3:20 unfold, if we're going to see it fulfilled in our lives so much more in 2024, that we are going to have to stay connected to the source. Look at somebody and tell them, stay connected to the source. If you're going to see 2024 And so much more in 2024, we're going to have to stay connected to the source. And by that, I gave the picture of Jesus being the vine, and you and I are the branches, right? There he is. He's the vine, and we are the branches that are wrapped around him. And if we are going to see Ephesians 3:20 fulfilled in our lives, so much more, we're going to have to stay connected to the source. Can I get an amen? And we're going to have to keep that connection strong. No matter what people say, no matter what the government say, no matter what your boss says, no matter what the doctors are saying, we're going to have to keep that connection strong. Why? Because that connection is your lifeline. Hallelujah. And we did say on that Sunday night that that lifeline connects you to a person. And what is his name? What is his name? Jesus. And he's our source. He's our supply. He's our sustenance. He's our solution to every problem that you will ever face. Can you say amen? I want you to lift your hands and say these words after me. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I may doubt my doubts, but I will never ever doubt my God and his word. Jesus is my lifeline. He's my source, my supply, my sustenance, and my solution to every problem I will ever face. He is the vine, and I am the branch. And as long as the branch abides in the vine, I will overcome. As long as I abide in him, I will triumph and overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 3:20, going back there, we said there that he will achieve infinitely more. Infinitely more is where we got our theme, so much more, in 2024, right? And he's going to achieve this infinitely more through three areas: through our greatest requests, our unbelievable dreams, and our wildest imagination. And I want to begin by talking about that first, all right? In other words, that God will achieve infinitely more, so much more in 2024 through our greatest requests. Can I get an amen? How many of you know that if we are going to see so much more in 2024, that it has to begin with us speaking? Nothing happens if we don't speak. I said nothing happens if we don't speak. And when it comes to the kingdom and the operation and administration of God's kingdom, it's important to know two principles. Number one, silence is the language of defeat, whereas speaking, which is I'm singing, I'm clapping, I'm dancing, I'm shouting, is the language of victory. Hallelujah. That's something that you got to understand from the beginning, that if you choose to remain silent, that is the language of defeat. And by default, you are moving into a posture of defeat. All right? But speaking, on the other hand, which includes singing, lifting up our hands, dancing, clapping, all of that, shouting, that is the language of victory. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And more importantly, what are we speaking? We are speaking whatever God says. When we say what he says, that not only becomes the language of victory, but it's the language and even the body language of an overcomer. Do we have any overcomers in this place this morning? Hallelujah. So if we are going to understand this, let's go back to the beginning and just discover something about that I believe is quite refreshing. In Genesis 2 and 7, you've read this before, we read it again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, that's Adam, became a living being. That word living means to come alive. Hallelujah. It means that when God breathed into Adam, Adam began to flourish. Everything about him flourished. Everything that he touched flourished. Everything that he spoke into that garden flourished. That word living also means to prosper. Hallelujah. That when God breathed into Adam, he was saying, my will is that you prosper. My will is that you prosper. The will of God is that for every one of you, no matter what the economy is, that's irrespective of what the gold is doing, the rand dollar is doing, irrespective of where the markets are heading, God's will for you, when he breathed into Adam, part of that, I'm making you a living spirit, a living soul, is that you prosper. Can you say amen? That word living also means to flow, that you're flowing like a river. But it also means this, which I found quite interesting. It means the oath of a promise. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living being, and he said, in that breath is the oath of a promise. In order for an oath to be ratified, means that it has to be spoken. You cannot have an oath of a promise without you saying something. And you cannot say something unless it has been given to you the ability to speak. So that means that we can actually say that when God breathed into Adam, when God breathed into man, man became a speaking spirit. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them you're a speaking spirit. Now, I know we speak a lot and we say a lot of garbage stuff and a lot of, but I want you to hear where I'm going with this. The breath of God, the Ruach of God was breathed into Adam. An impartation of the Spirit of God, which created Adam to be not a speaking man, but a speaking spirit. Speaking spirit. You are, above all things, you are a speaking spirit. Even though I'm speaking with my mouth this morning, my spirit is speaking unto you. And if you have a discerning ear, then you will hear what it is that the Lord is saying. I'm speaking with my spirit man. I'm speaking to your spirit man. That was given when God breathed into Adam. Hallelujah. And created Adam to be a speaking spirit. This is one of the ways in which we are made in the image and likeness of God. When God said, I'm going to make man into my image, into my likeness, what exactly did he mean? That we would be everywhere all at the same time? I don't think so. That we would be all power? I don't think so. That we would be all knowing and all wise? I don't think so. But one of the ways in which we are made in the image and likeness of our God is that God is a speaking spirit, and when he breathed his spirit into Adam, Adam became a speaking spirit. Hallelujah. And because of that, it means that when Adam received the breath of God, he was given the ability to speak with his spirit to the Spirit of God. And in that way, it was a two-way communication. Hallelujah. Every living being is created with the purpose and potential of speaking in the Spirit to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That means also because of that, Adam, that the very first language given to mankind was the language of the Spirit. Do you understand this morning? That when he breathed his breath into Adam, and Adam's spirit received the ability to speak, Adam's spirit speaking to God's spirit, that means that the very first language that God gave to mankind was the language of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right there and then, he was telling Adam, there's going to be a heavenly language that I'm going to give you. And when we speak in tongues and we speak in the Spirit, it's actually going back way back to the garden where the language of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are speaking, we are given to speak the language of the Spirit. So that means today, whatever your natural language is, whether it be Spanish or Zulu, Xhosa, or whatever it is, that your natural language is only secondary to the language of the Spirit that was given to you by God. Hallelujah. If you look at Romans 8 and 16, it says there, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. How is that happening? By God's Spirit communicating with your spirit. God's Spirit speaking with your spirit. Your spirit speaking with God's Spirit. Verbalizing it. And we verbalize it by when we speak in other tongues, as what happened on the day of Pentecost, and as was happened throughout the book of Acts, up until Acts 19, when Paul gets to Ephesus, and there's a group of believers there, and they had only received the baptism of John. And he said to them, well, what about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, well, we haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about 30, 40, 50 years down the road, Paul lays his hands on those people and they receive the Spirit of God and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. So the Spirit himself, Romans 8, 16, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In order for this to happen, our spirit needs to be able to speak. In order for this to happen, our spirit man needs to be able to speak. And this ties in with 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. It says there, the first Adam became a living being. That's Adam in the garden. The last Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam, who is Jesus, was actually a quickening spirit. He quickened Adam's spirit. God quickened Adam's spirit with the ability to speak in the spirit so that he could speak to God. Hallelujah. If you think about this, Adam really then was created by words. Adam, when God said, breathe, he breathed in. God said, breathe in. He breathed in. Adam was actually created by words. Hallelujah. Adam came to life as God spoke the words and man became a living soul. God created man with a reasoning skill and understanding of words that he responded with life as God spoke to him. Hallelujah. That means that Adam's soul responded to the speech of God. When God breathed and said, Adam, now become a living soul, Adam responded to the speech of God, which means that our souls respond to the speech of God, our spirit man. When I say soul there, I'm talking about your spirit. Our spirit man. Our souls respond to the speech of God. If you are not conversing with God and you are not hearing from God, then it means that you're missing on his life-quickening spirit. Your spirit is not quickened. And every day our spirits need to be quickened. Hallelujah. There are things that you are going to face that day that God will quicken to your spirit when he speaks to you and your spirit responds to those words and you lay a hold of those words and you prepare yourself for what lies ahead. Can I get an amen? So our souls respond to the speech of God. And God's speech initiated Adam's spiritual life. God's speech, God's speaking is what initiated Adam's spiritual life. And in like manner, God's speech will initiate our spiritual life as well. And every time God speaks, we are quickened by him and made alive unto him, his will and his purpose. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So man, like every other creature and created thing in the earth, became from the spoken word of God. That's man. We became living beings from the spoken word of God. But man is the only part of God's creative work that is able to respond in words. Animals cannot speak. I know we do have animal whisperers and all of that kind of stuff, but it's given to man the ability to respond. We respond. We were formed when God spoke, and that initiated, that made our spirits come alive. And every time God speaks, our spirits are quickened and we are made alive unto God. And so it brings me to this next slide. We connect to God through our ability to speak. We connect to God through our ability to speak. And that's why this is so important to understand this, because our innermost part of us was built to respond and to resonate with the voice and the speech and the word of God. Look at somebody and tell them, your innermost part was built to respond to and resonate with the voice, the speech, and the word of God. Hallelujah. So you are a created speaking spirit. The problem is that we speak to everything else and everyone else but God. And that means then that we end up saying the wrong things and we get involved in the wrong conversation. And family, I want you to know that is the way the enemy robs you and I of all that God has. All that he has for us, so much more in 2024. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. She will have whatever she says. Therefore, verse 24, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Hallelujah. In other words, according to this verse, Jesus is saying that we have whatever we say. Lift your hands and say, I have whatever I say. That's right, I have whatever I say. If you keep saying, I can't afford it, you'll have you'll have what you're saying. You won't be able to afford. You won't be able to go on holiday. You won't be able to go and shop and do whatever you need to do. I can't afford it. You have what you say. You have what you say. My question to you this morning is, what are you saying in 2024? What are you going to say in 2024? And I believe that there are some people and some conversations that you are going to have to just simply avoid and completely eliminate from your life if you're going to see so much more in 2024. And you might have to say, I'm sorry, I love you, but if you're going to say negative things and gossip and scandal and be negative and down and depressed and this and that, I'm going to have to disconnect with you and discontinue my relationship with you. Thank you. I love you, but God bless you. Hallelujah. Why? Why is that so important? Because I don't want my conversation to be responsible for me not receiving so much more in 2024. Come on, there's some hard decisions that you're going to have to make. And it's not because you're holier than them or more righteous than them. It's just that we are focused with what God wants us to do for 2024. You are focused, you are honing in on His will, His purpose. And there are some people and some conversations that you cannot afford to be in the middle of. Can I get a better amen? And so you know what? If you'll agree and speak the word of faith and speak a word that encourages and edifies and exhorts, then we can walk together. Hallelujah. That's what Amos 3:3 says. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? You have to disassociate yourself from conversations that are not agreeing with what's happening, not resonating with what's happening in your spirit. Is that, I want to tell you about this? No, I don't want to hear about that. Just close your ears, walk away, and that guy will soon get the message. If you open your ears to garbage, people will come and use you as a garbage disposal. If you incline, did you ever find that you open your ear to some gossip scandal, and then everybody's like almost queuing up to tell all these, and it's because you allowed that in. But there are some conversations that you're going to have to stop, put an end to, and say, unless you agree that we're going to talk faith, we're going to talk the Word of God, we're going to talk the Word that is going to build you, encourage you, edify you, get you serving Jesus, get you loving Jesus more, then I'm afraid I'm going to have to walk away. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? So he says we've got to get our conversations right, first and foremost. I'm giving you all of this to understand. We've got to get our conversations right. Once we've got our conversations right, then we can come and place our requests. And here in Ephesians 3 and 20, he says, don't come with your little requests. Come with your most greatest requests. Come with your most greatest requests. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be anxious for nothing. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm here to tell you, be anxious for nothing. The governments will come and go. Political parties will come and go. People that you see on TV shouting, what, can come and go. Don't worry about that. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The NIV says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present. The Passion says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests, your faith-filled requests before God with an overflowing attitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? So we verbalize our requests. What are your requests in 2024? You need to make a list of them, put a date and a time when you petitioned that request. And then what do? You find scriptures and promises that speak to that request. And you begin to pray those same scriptures through over and over, all the time, thanking God for the answer. Even though you might have not got the answer, you just pray those scriptures over and you begin to thank God in advance. What is that word, thank God? That is the Hebrew word todah, part of the praise, which means you're expressing an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. You are praising and thanking God in advance for the answer, even before you actually received it. Is this helping you this morning, family? Praise the Lord. So God says, let your requests be made known. In other words, he's saying, do not be afraid to ask me. Do not be afraid to ask me. Bump your neighbor and say, God says, don't be afraid to ask him. Psalm 2 and 8 says, ask of me. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. My goodness. You just ask a simple request, and he's ready to give you the nations. I'll give you the nations and everything that's in the nations and all the treasure that's in the nations and all the opportunity that's in the nations. I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth. My God, my God, my God. We need to just grab a revelation of Psalm 2 verse 8. In Isaiah 7 and 11, this is what the prophet says to the king. The king in the south of Judah there was a war between the north of Israel. They teamed up with some other guys. And the prophet Isaiah comes to the king of Judah and says, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above, wherever you're at. Hallelujah. It don't matter if you're in the bottom of the valley or the top of the mountain, you are in the darkest of your moment, ask the Lord. Hallelujah. It don't matter what, just ask the Lord. Amen. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 21, 22, Jesus says these words, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said in John 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. There's a key there that if I'm asking does not glorify the Father, then I'm asking amiss. But if I ask in accordance to the will and purpose of God, then whatever I ask, hallelujah, I ask, it will bring glory to the Father. And he says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything, if you ask anything, no, don't look at the political situation. Don't look at the economy. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. 1 John 5, one of my favorite scriptures, verse 14 says, now, when? For 2024, now, this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence. We're a confident bunch of people. The people of God are always, there's a confident expectation on the inside of God's precious people. If you are fueling yourself with the Word of God and there is faith that is being manufactured in your hearts, then there will always, always, there will always be a confident expectation on the inside of you, no matter what you're facing. As a matter of fact, the more hardships you face, the more the word comes, the more faith is manufactured, and the more there is a confident expectation. And people look at you and say, what are you on? I'll tell you what I'm on. I'm on Jesus. I'm on his word. Hallelujah. I have a lifeline. My connection is with him. He's the vine and I am the branch. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever in the Greek means whatever, in Zulu it means whatever, in Xhosa it means, in Spanish for our American viewers it means whatever. Whatever you ask, we know that I know that I know that I know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Hallelujah. Can you see how many scriptures I've given you there where it's speaking about God saying, ask me, please ask me. He's saying to you and me, please ask me. In 2024, God is stooping out from the portholes of heaven and looking down and saying, please, would you ask me? Please, Durban Christian Center, would you ask me, please, every family, every man of God, every woman of God, would you ask me, bring your requests, your greatest requests, and ask me, says the Lord. Look at somebody and tell them, I believe God is wanting to ask him. I believe that God is wanting you to ask him. Hallelujah. Now notice, it's not just requests, but greatest requests. And I do believe that God is challenging your and my faith today and for this whole year. I believe the spirit of faith is here today and he is saying that to you. The spirit of God is saying that to you. I am challenging your faith. I dare you to ask me big. I am prodding you and challenging you to ask big, think big, pray big, believe big, speak big, declare big, prophesy big. Everything you ask, ask big in Jesus' name. And by the way, you're not asking big so that you can be the big shot. You're not asking big to show how great you are and to elevate you and your wonderful ministry, and to show everyone how wonderful and beautiful and what a superstar you are. You're asking big to showcase God. and to manifest and demonstrate His greatness, His kindness, His goodness, His beauty, His glory, His power, His love, and His benevolence. Hallelujah. That's why I'm asking big. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're asking big so that you can be the most effective in fulfilling His plans and purposes for your life. Don't get it mixed up. You're not asking big so you can have, 3,000 cars and 20,000 shoes and about 10 homes. You're not asking big for that, man. You're asking big so that you can be the most effective for God in fulfilling His purpose, His plans, His will for your life, building His church, reaching the lost, and advancing the kingdom of God on this earth. That's why we're asking big. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I dare you by the Spirit of God to press in and go big for God in 2024. Go big for God. Actually, I think of Pastor Fred, one of his favorite sayings was, go big or go home. Bump your neighbor and say, go big or go home. Come on. Come on, man. We're either going to give it our best shot in 2024 and go all out for God, or otherwise, let's go and play bingo or roulette or something out there. Play roulette so at least we can gamble and make some money. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But I dare you to go big for God. Hallelujah. God wants to stretch our faith. He wants to challenge our capacities, enlarge in our capacities. Everything about God's greatness and bigness, you know what? It defies logic, reason. It even defies what everybody else in the world is saying. Hey! Praise God! I hear God saying, you can either go with me or you can go with them. But if you go with them, you're going to go alone. There's an African proverb, and I put this up a while back. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. I've made up my mind. I'm going together with God. Hallelujah. This is not a 100-meter sprint. I'm not here today, a star and then a disaster. No. We're going to finish this race strong. Jesus is coming back for a bride that's matured. Come on, that's glorious. Come on. He's not coming back for a patched up bride, patched up, torn dress, arm in a sling, crutch on this side, one eye, a patch here, all of that. He's coming back for a glorious bride. Our purpose, I'm going with God. And if you go with God, He said, come on, we're going to go places. You're going to do things you've never done before. You're going to see things you've never seen before. You are going to say, how is this possible? It's possible because with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Remember, if we keep Jesus and His church and the kingdom in perspective, then going big, it's going to be very hard to go wrong if we go big. Why? Because if you put Jesus as center of stage, if you put Him on your throne, if you make Him the CEO of your company, the Lord of your marriage, the Lord over your family, when Jesus comes and takes center stage, everything else has to move out. Everything else has to move out. That means pride has to move out. That means arrogance has to move out. That means jealousy has to move. Jesus comes and sits on the throne. That means greed has to go out. Hallelujah. That means anger, hatred has to go out in Jesus' name. That means bitterness, selfishness has to go out when Jesus is enthroned on the throne of your life. Hallelujah. And when Jesus comes and sits on your throne, it's impossible to think big, and it's impossible to think small and pray small. Small thinking and small praying and small believing has to find an exit door when he fully occupies, I'm not just talking about on a Sunday and maybe on an Easter day and then a Christmas day, but every day, if He fully occupies your throne, Small thinking has to go out the back door. Somebody do this and say, goodbye, small thinking. Goodbye, small praying. Goodbye, small believing. No, Jesus is on the throne of my life. Hallelujah. So that means there's nothing small about Jesus. Everything about him is big. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And when people ask you, who do you think you are? Believing God for such big things. Trying to show off, are you? Trying to be a big shot? You need to tell them, no, that's actually the wrong question you are asking me. The right question is, who do I think God is? Well, see, you asked, I'll tell you who he is. He is my God, the creator of the whole universe, who holds the entire waters of the earth in the palm of his one hand. He's the great I am that I am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the sure rock upon which I can stand and build my life. All other ground is sinking ground. He's my good and great shepherd that cares for you and me and watches over us. He's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's my Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is my peace. He's my Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is my healer. He is my Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is ever present. He's with me when I go out and when I come back home. He's ever present with me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's my Jehovah Imkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies me. He's my Jehovah Tzidniku, the Lord who is my righteousness. He's my El Gabor, the Lord who is strong and mighty, and he's strong and mighty on my behalf. He's my El Shaddai, the Lord who is all sufficient. He's my El Elyon, the Lord who sees. He's my protector, my strong tower, my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. If you believe that, give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. That's who my God is. Remain standing this morning. That's who my God is. Who is your God this morning? Who is your God this morning? Do you have a revelation of his greatness? Do you have a revelation of his awesomeness? Do you have a revelation? Is it embedded in your spirit that with man, you know, things are impossible, but not so with God. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. With my God, with your God. Hallelujah. Do you have a revelation of his miracle working power that is still alive today as much as it was in the Old and the New Testament? He's the same miracle working power God that we read in the Bible. He is today for you and for me. I'm here to tell you that God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do some amazing things in your life, family. Hallelujah. Some big things, some great things. That's why your requests can't be mediocre, just a little here, a little there. He's daring you to ask him big, huge. And you need to verbalize it, speak it. Why? Because you are a speaking man, a speaking spirit, and so too is God. And when you speak his word, you are speaking God's language. Your spirit and God's spirit communing and fellowshipping. And in that union, faith will begin to well up in your spirit, and you'll have a confident expectation, and you'll know that he hears your prayers, your greatest requests. And when your faith jumps up and snatches the yes of that promise, it says, it's mine, I'll take it. Yep, yep. Faith reaches up and takes that promise, says, it's mine, I'll take it, it's mine, it's mine. Hallelujah.
We trust you enjoyed this message. To stay connected to Durban Christian Center, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and download our DCC Church app. Hop onto our website for any information you might need about the Durban Christian Center. If you are in Durban, South Africa, we would absolutely love for you to join us at our Sunday morning services at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. You can find us at 39 Golf Road, Mabel. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.